Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the service today. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the service to you. We commit the message to you. Fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit today. If you want me to say it, that I will. If not, that I won't. And Lord, I pray that you'll help everyone to stay focused. Lord, bind Satan's hands and our mind to wonder, Lord, to other things that may be happening this afternoon or tomorrow or this week. But Lord, may we just focus upon you and your word. And I pray that as a result of being here, Lord, we may draw closer to you in our walk with you. And Lord, again, we want all the praise to go to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor. And I want you to say to your neighbor, I sure hope the preacher preaches better today than he did last time I heard him. I figured that'd get a rile out of Tim. All right, then you can be seated. All right, I'm gonna turn on this here gray mic. And I'm going to ask Sean if he would to come up here, please. Okay, we got one of our runners back today, so that's good. So, Sean, this is your mic, okay? And you can just speak right into it, just like that, all right? All right, I'll sit down and you can preach if you want. Hey, Sean runs track for South Harrison. And we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, and he keeps me updated somewhat on how things are going. Now, this year in track, I know you're running several different events, but this year in track in particular, with the training and everything, what is your favorite race and why?
The 1 mile, I like it because it doesn't take a whole bunch of speed, but it also takes speed and endurance, but it's just real fun. I like the competition that it brings.
And it's somewhat akin to cross country, which is really your thing, right? So what I want to tell you was I talked to the coach, and you know, this coming, right now the meet coming up, it's LKC, right, conference. So I've talked to the coach, and I've worked out where he's not going to run the race that he really wants to run. You told me what he's going to run. I figured it out. He's going to run the 100-meter dash. How do you feel about that? You don't like that idea? You think I better call the coach back and say, well, why is that? Why do you not like running the 100 meter?
I'm not a sprinter.
You're not a sprinter. In other words, that's not your race, right? Now, another thing that I talked to coach about, I thought you'd probably do pretty well at the shot put. What do you think about that?
No.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Sean. Thank you. Now, we've been talking about plotting for the Lord. Plotting for the Lord. Everybody remember that? Okay, this is message number 4 on plotting for the Lord. Plotting for the Lord. And you say, what exactly does that mean? That means just keep on moving forward in your service to the Lord. Remember, I think probably the first message I preached, I talked about, you know, being out in the mud and putting on your gum boots and making up your mind, even though my boot gets stuck in the mud sometimes, even though it's difficult going, I'm going to strap on my boots. I'm going to keep on moving forward for the Lord. Now, that's the idea of plotting for the Lord. Now, some people here, and I don't mean this mean, but maybe you're not plotting the way you should. Maybe you're doing very little for the Lord. You say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not plotting forward. So I hope as a result of these series of messages that you make up in your mind, I am going to move forward for the Lord. I'm going to plod for the Lord. Some people here today may say, you know what, I've really been thinking about quitting. You know, things are just tough. You know, it's rough. It just seems like everything, it's one thing after another, and it seems like I got too many things in my life. And I'm thinking about, I think I'll just kind of eliminate plotting for the Lord. I'm going to eliminate serving the Lord. Bad idea. I hope that as a result of this sermon series on plotting for the Lord, that you'll make up your mind that that's not the right choice. Maybe some other things need to be cut out or cut back a little bit. But serving the Lord, I'm going to plod forward. I'm going to keep on joyfully progressing for Jesus. And there's some people here today that your personality may be such, and maybe the circumstances in life are such that you're like, preacher, I really don't need this. You know, I'm plotting. I've been plotting for years, and I plan on keep on plotting. And well, first of all, I think all of us could plot a little bit better, probably. Y'all agree with that? And don't ever think that you're incapable of quitting. Because we don't know what may be just around the corner, what we may be facing. Now, we've all seen examples of Christians who have been very fervent for the Lord, plotting for the Lord, faithful to the Lord, and then boom, where did they go? Now, if you're there sitting today and saying, that can never, ever, 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 ever happen to me, I'd encourage you to listen up pretty close. And if you think it can't happen, put it in your pocket. And in case you're ever tempted to do it, saying, hey, I remember I need to keep plotting for the Lord. And be careful saying it could never happen to me. We need to be diligent. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We're going to begin there, read those verses again, talk about it a little bit, review it a little bit, and then we're going to cover some new ground that has to deal with running our race. Right, Sean? Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance or with plodding the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, same word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured, same word, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, in the way of review, the main point, I believe, of this passage is found in verse 1 of chapter 12. The main point, keep serving Jesus, keep plotting, and it says that, and let us run with patience or endurance or with plotting the race that is set before us. That appears to me to be the main point that the writer of Hebrews in this passage is trying to get across to us. Keep serving Jesus. Keep doing what you know to do is right with endurance. As you've heard me say many times, life, the Christian life, is much more like a marathon than like a sprint. And we just need to keep trudging forward, plodding forward for the Lord. And that appears to me to be the main point of this passage. But then we shifted gears a little bit, and we started talking about, well, how do I plod, P-L-O-D, for Jesus? And do y'all remember your words? Some of you do. Do you remember there's four words that I want you to remember, and they tell us how we can plod for Jesus. The first, before anybody says anything, I'll tell you what it is, make a mental note, and then I'm going to have you shout it out here in a moment, okay? How do we plot for Jesus? First word was pattern, lighten, own it, and ditto. Okay? So you got that? It's pattern, lighten, own it, ditto. And it spells out the word plot. Now I want you to shout it out as loud as you can, okay? As loud as you can. Loud enough to wake everybody up who may be sleeping, okay? Are you ready? What are they? Amy, you're not with it too much here. Come on, I want you to say it a little bit louder. You're just kind of, okay, now set an example as a PW. Huh? Okay, all right, I'm in trouble now. All right, here we go. Plod. Well, what's the words? That's how we keep plotting for the Lord. It's spelled out in those words. First of all, we looked at the word pattern. Follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. You see, the first part of verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And if you look at chapter 11, it's the faith chapter, and it says, this one endured. This one was faithful. This one was faithful even to death and on. And we have a whole chapter of examples. So guess what? We need to follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. Can I tell you, sometimes it seems like we're the only ones going through difficulty, but can I assure you, there's a lot of people going through a lot of difficulties, whether you know it or not. And can I assure you that the Bible is full of examples of people who plodded forth and stayed faithful to the Lord through a lot more difficult situations than what you and I are experiencing. Now, we looked at some of those in particular. We looked at Noah. He was a plotter, 120 years, preaching righteousness, preparing the ark, and not one new convert. That's plotting. He kept faithful. Abraham, 25 years of sojourning. God promised him an heir, but no heir, no child for 25 years. That's plotting forth, serving the Lord. Joseph, 13 years of imprisonment, but he kept faithful to the Lord, kept serving the Lord. Moses, 40 years of desert wanderings with the moaning and groaning and complaining children of Israel. That's plotting. And we even looked at the unnamed plotters in verses 35 to 40. We'll not do that today. But all these are part of the hall of faith, those who were faithful, even in difficult times. You see, we need to follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. The second way to keep plotting we looked at was lighten your load. Lighten your load. Remember these bricks down here? I kept them down here on purpose. Remember, we got one brick labeled W, I think it's here, right? And we got another brick, it's labeled S. And if you look at Scripture, if you want to keep plotting, part of the reason people quit is because there's too much weight and there's too much sin in their life. And it weighs them down. And it says in that verse, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Regardless of what race we're running, sin and weight will drag us down. And I believe there's a distinction between what sin is and what weight is. Now, weight isn't necessarily a sin, I believe, in this passage. But it's talking about distractions. And boy, let me tell you, if you want a distraction, the devil will provide you a distraction for everything you want to do for Jesus. And if you weigh someone down with that, you're just like, oh, I'm so distracted. And see, that's part of the problem with Christianity. We are so involved in so many things anymore. Church is way down on the list. And therefore, you know, it's just kind of like, if there's anything else to do, I'm going to do that. You know, it's almost like people are looking for some reason not to come to church. And see, church is way down on the list. Those are weights. Those are weights and distractions that in and of themselves may not be sinful, but when they take priority away from serving God, they become sinful. Remember I said a good thing, if it's not the best thing, can be a bad thing? Did y'all hear me say that? You might have to think about that a little bit. But we have a lot of Christians that are doing good things, but they're not the best things that they could be doing. And then the other word was sin. Sin will drag us down too. I mean, sin has lots of consequences. It makes cowards out of us. When we're sinning against God, and I'm not preaching perfection because we'll never be perfect on this side of eternity, but sin will drag us down and weigh us down. And if we keep choosing to not do what God wants us to do, or if we keep choosing to do things that God knows is wrong according to His Word, it'll drag us down and make us want to quit and make us want to give up. So if you want to keep on plotting for the Lord, lighten up of the weight, those distractions, and the sin that could be in our life. So if we want to keep keep plotting for Jesus, follow the pattern of folks that have gone before us and kept serving Jesus. It's possible. Can I tell you, it's more than possible? You can do it with God's help. The second way to keep plotting is lighten up, lose that weight, those distractions, lose that sin that's in our life, whether sins of omission or commission. And today we're going to look at the O. Own it. Own it. We need to own the race that God has set before us personally. Let me say that again. We need to own it. That's the O. We need to own it. O-W-N. Own it. Own the race that God has set before you personally. It says in that passage, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you realize that in a certain way, there's a general race that we all should be running? Do you understand that? There are certain things that should be part of every one of our races, every one of the courses that we have before God. If you're a child of God, let me tell you, the five to thrive, okay? Every Christian is told what? That they need to read the Bible, they need to pray, right? They need to tell others about Jesus, right? They need to tithe. And they need to be faithful to the church. Five to thrive. It's not rocket science. Five to thrive. And you say, yeah, we're all supposed to do that. But also, I believe in this passage when it says the race that is set before us, it is implying that there's a race for each one of us in particular. Our personal race. Do you realize that you're called to do things that I'm not called to do, and I'm called to do things that you may not be called to do? Specifically, in my ministering for Jesus and plotting forth for Jesus. You see, part of the problem, God has a specific race for you to run, a specific ministry for you. Part of the problem is we don't want to run the race that he has for me. You know, can I tell you that normally running the race that God has for you will make you a little bit uncomfortable? Can I tell you that it will take you out of your comfort zone? But that shouldn't stop us from doing what God wants us to do. That should not stop us from running the race that God has for us. You know, I believe that God has big plans for Oakmount. I do. But it's going to take God's people to rise up to the occasion and say, God, what do you want me to do? What part do you want me to play? And then you step right in there in God's will and say, okay, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability for the glory of God. Can I tell you, I believe there's ministries that we ought to be doing right now as a church, but we don't have the people that have stepped up and say, you know, I want to do that ministry. Or I can do that ministry, or I can do that. You know, God has blessed us. We're increasing a bit. Praise the Lord. We need to keep praying for that. And hopefully some of these ministries are around the corner. But can you imagine what a church could be doing if everybody that's not a member becomes a member, everybody that is a member says, you know what, I'm going to run the race that God has for me. That specific race. You know, Sean said he liked the 1600 meter or the mile race, right? And I said, no, you need to run this race. You're like, that's kind of goofy, isn't it? He needs to run the race that he wants to run in track, right? That he enjoys, that he's good at. God will call you to the race he wants you to run. And doesn't he know the race that you're best at? Doesn't he know the race that you can win at? Doesn't he know the race that will fulfill the ministry that he has for you here at Oakmount? Absolutely. You see, we need to run the specific race that God has for us. If we're not careful, we can look around at other people and we can kind of envy them a little bit. We can be a little bit jealous and say, well, I want to do what they want to do. You know, you may look at your Sunday school teacher and say, you know what? I wish I could teach like they do. I want to teach just the way they do. Run the race that God has for you. If it's not being a teacher, don't pout and put your head under the pillow and try to hide from the world. You say, well, I want to be a teacher. Well, God may call you to be a teacher. Maybe you need to exercise that gift if God has gifted you in that area, but maybe not. Not everybody in the church is called to be a teacher. You may look at someone else. I mean, can I share with you sometimes? I listen to preachers sometimes, not a whole lot, but I listen to preachers sometimes, and I listen to them, and I'm like, wow, what a preacher. You know, and I'm like, man, I wish I could preach that way. But you know what? That's not really my concern. My concern is being the best me that I can be for Jesus and running the race that God has set before me. And there's people that might be reached with my style of preaching that may not be reached by those that you go, wow, what a preacher. You know what I mean? And the same thing with each one of us. Don't worry about being like other people. You be the best you can be and say, God. And if this whole idea is a little bit foreign to you, the good place to start, if you know Jesus, is to call out to God and say, God, what race do you want me to run for you? What is the race you have for me? And be the best you that you can be. We don't have to model ourselves after someone else in the church. And maybe we hear somebody sing, oh, I want to sing. I wish I could sing. They sing so good. And, you know, well, just be the best you that you can be. Yeah, you can join the choir and not be able to sing at all. We'll cover you up. I'm not being mean by that, but some people sing better than others. And we got enough voices in the choir. You want to make a joyful noise? And so we got some really good singers in the choir. And you come on up in the choir, and we'll drown you out, but you can still sing for the praise and the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Run the race that God has for you. It's as goofy as me saying, you know what? I want to be just like Tim Cochran. And I go home this afternoon, and I shave my head. And then I start growing this out. What is this thing called, Tim? Colonel Sanders? Is there a name for it? Like a goatee? It's, I don't know. Is it a Fu Manchu or what do they call that? I don't know. I really don't know. But I could. Now, that would, you'd say, preacher, that's kind of goofy for you to try to look like Tim. Try to be like Tim. You be the best you that you could be, and I'll do the same. I'll try to be the best Steve that I can be for the glory of God, running the race that God has for me, and you be the best you that you can be, running the race that God has for you. You see, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now you say, preacher, you're talking about this plotting thing. I'm running the race that God has for me. I'm working with those kids, and sometimes, let me tell you, I'm not sure if they're paying any bit of attention to anything that I say. I'm not sure if I'm reaching anybody. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. As long as you're running the race that God has set for you, you just keep being faithful, and God will give the increase. God will give the blessing. And I guarantee you that some of those kids are listening. Now, you ought to be a preacher looking at everybody out there sometimes, and you're thinking, is anybody listening out there? Some of you are really good listeners. Some of you aren't, and you're thinking, I don't know. But believe me, you're picking up something, right? We just got to be faithful. And a couple things that keep me doing what God has called me to do, to keep plotting, can I tell you two things? Number one, I know, and I'll apply it to everybody, I know that God has called me to be a pastor. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know that. I would stake my life on it. I would swear up and down. I would not recant on that. I know that God has called me to be a pastor. And secondly, what keeps me plotting for Jesus, I know that God has called me here. at Oakmount. So there's two things, with God's help, that I can think about and reflect on and keep on plotting for Jesus. So, if you're here today, and you're serving the Lord, and you're a Sunday school teacher, guess what? If you know that God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher, you can rest on that fact and say, I'm going to keep on serving Jesus because I know that God has called me to be a Sunday school teacher. Or whether that be usher, whether that be working with the kids, whether that be being in the choir, you say, I know that God has called me to do that. You can keep on going and going through a whole lot of difficult stuff if you know that God has called you to do that. And secondly, if you know that God has called you here to do that, you can keep on going through an awful lot of muck and mire and clay and keep on pressing forward and plodding forth because you know that God has placed you here to do what God has called you to do. Make sense? You see, we need to own it. We need to own the race that God has set before us specifically. Specifically. I want to go to a couple passages of Scripture that prove that God does have a specific race or plan for your life. I'm going to start at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Notice what Psalm 37 says. It says in Psalm 37, verse 23, I jumped down a little bit there, Angela, but Psalm 37 and verse 23. Listen to what this verse says, Psalm 37. We're talking about, does God have a specific race or plan for your life? In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Man, isn't that a good passage of Scripture? The steps of a good man are ordered, ordained, established by the Lord, and he delights in our way. You know what helps me keep plodding forth, as I said before? Knowing that God has a plan for me. And knowing that I'm in the center of God's plan for me because he has a specific plan for me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good teenager are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good kid serving Jesus who's trusting him are ordered by the Lord. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? To know, now think about this, the God of the universe has a plan for me. There's about 8 billion people, I looked it up, about 8 billion, not quite, but about 8 billion people in the world, and to know that the God of the universe has a specific plan for you encourages my heart. What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Does God have a specific plan or a race for my life? Listen, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy what? Paths. He shall direct thy paths. It sounds like, as long as I have my priorities right, it sounds like as long as I'm leaning upon him and listening to him and consulting him, he says, guess what? I got the right paths for you. He'll direct my paths. He'll put me where he wants me to be. That'll help you keep plodding for the Lord, knowing that God has a plan specifically for you. I don't know about you, but that's like, does the Bible show anyone in particular that had a specific race for Jesus or for the Lord in particular? Absolutely. I'm not going to turn to these passages for the sake of time, but do you know Joseph? Joseph, remember him? He's in the Hall of Faith, and we mentioned him as a plotter. He was in prison for more or less 13 years, other than the time he was at Potiphar's house, but for basically 13 years he got elevated to second in command over Egypt. And through all that, remember all of his dad and all of his brothers and their families were saved from famine because they came to Egypt and got food in Egypt. Remember that? And remember in chapter 50, it says something like this. You meant this for evil. He's talking to his brother, Joseph is. But he says, but God meant unto good. God meant it unto good. So this was the plan that God had for Joseph. Did it work out okay? Absolutely. What about Esther? Remember Esther? I referred to her pretty recently in a message. Remember Esther? Queen Esther? And remember that old mean guy named Haman? He wanted to wipe out all the Jews. And he got the king to write a decree unbeknownst to all the Jews at that point that they're going to destroy all the Jews. And remember Uncle Mordecai comes to Esther and says, you know, you better do something because you're going to be destroyed along with all the Jews if you don't do something. And remember what he said to her? You are in the kingdom. Who knows if God has set you here for such a time as this. I see in that God had a specific race for Esther to run. And the Jews were saved. God has, 2024, God has a specific race for you to run. I like Westerns and I look back and I think, you know, I'd like to have lived about 150 years ago or maybe 100 years ago. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's race for me. God's race for me is right now, right here, doing whatever he wants me to do and keep on plodding forward for Jesus. What about Paul? Y'all familiar with Paul? Remember, God had a specific race for him to run. He says, I'm not going to pop up the verse even to it, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, 12, Paul says, it's talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel and the good news about Jesus coming, that he was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You see, Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. That was God's race for Paul. I don't think we ought to look back and say, oh, well, the apostle, now that's big. Or look at missionaries even today and say, oh, that's big. Or look at preachers and say, oh, that's big. But mine is so insignificant. Can I tell you that if it's God's plan for your life, it's not insignificant. The God of the universe planned this out for you. It's crucial. It's important. It's relevant. Run the race that God has for you. God had a specific race for Paul. And I like this verse. You're familiar with this verse, but we usually emphasize a different part of it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. If you would pop that verse up, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. We usually emphasize the first part of this verse. Like, I have fought a good fight. But what about the middle part? I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you know what Paul was saying right there? In essence, God had a race for me to run, and I have finished my race. This is near the end of his life. Everybody here, if you want to keep plodding for the Lord, you need to take some ownership, own it, and say, you know what? God has a race for me to run. And regardless of what other people may do, between you and God, you need to run the race that God has for you. Not looking around saying, I wish I could do that, I wish I could do that, I wish I could. You just need to use the giftedness that God has given to you to keep on putting one foot in front of the other and keep on plotting for the Lord. You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. I mean, we're so hard on ourselves. We say, that was terrible. Oh, that was bad. I can't do that. I can't handle that. I can't do it. Well, possibly. But sometimes people are looking and saying, man, I think you're doing a good job. And you're thinking to yourself, no, I'm not. 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 If God has called you to do it, He will equip you to do it. And He will use you to do it. You just need to stay in the race that God has called you to run. You know, as goofy as me telling Sean that, guess what? You're not going to run the race that you've been practicing and that you like. And that basically the coach has for you. I'm going to step in there and you're going to run the dashes and shot put. And it's like, that's goofy. Well, whenever we try to step in and tell God what we're going to do and not going to do and what race we're going to run, it's just as goofy. You see, God knows all about you. He knows what race He has for you. Let me encourage you. Keep on plodding forward for the Lord. Running.